am with Mitch today and very grateful for this opportunity. Mitch, thanks for being with us.
Of course, thank you for having me.
And our audience is our missionary friends, team missionaries that are out there serving the Lord. And I want to give some information, some inspiration, maybe ideas, different tools, encouragement, challenges. So I want to ask you today, I'll start off the questions. And we've been speaking about some of the expectations that you set. I think the way that God has made you, your personality would be shoot high, shoot for the stars. I think that's awesome. But we don't always meet those goals. We don't always meet those expectations. So when you do shoot for something and you go any direction you want, whether this is language or ministry goals or personal or deputation, whatever, when you set a high expectation and you don't meet it, what do you do to keep going but not get discouraged and say, you know what, forget it. I'm just not even going to do this anymore.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think it based off the saying expectations versus reality, right? And so sometimes when you build something up in your mind so much that you're going to be great at it, it's a farther fall down when you're not. And so it can be difficult and challenging. At least I've seen it in my own life when I've done that. Typically, I don't expect to be overly good at something in the beginning. I just figure with hard work and, you know, strapping on your shoes tight enough, you'll be able to get it done. But I specifically for me, I saw this in language school for us, because I had been taught in all the Friday classes and everything that if you're somebody that can make fun of themselves, if you're somebody that's social rather than academic, if you're someone that, you know, just is a hard worker and willing to go out there and immerse yourself in the culture, making friends in it, and just that you're going to be someone that excels and thrives in language learning. And I remember sitting there next to my wife that is like an introvert that's a little more reserved, but a little... it's harder to get her to laugh at herself. I'm more proud in that aspect. Sure. And very, very academic. And so I was sitting there just, you know, kind of like, okay, this is going to be something you struggle at. This is going to be something that you have to work on. I mean, I'll help you. I'll pull you along, but I got this one in the back. And that usually isn't my mindset with things, but for specifically language school, I don't know why, but it really was. And then when we got to language school, I felt like I got very quickly a swift kick in the face that although those things might have been true, that I had those characteristics, that the language learning ability wasn't something that God particularly gifted me in. And so it was going to be something that was extremely difficult for me. And it was rather something my wife had a knack in. And so very quickly I learned that I was going to have a lot of patience in this and have to rely on the Lord and really search and know that this is what God has for me.
Right.
I remember I specifically went on Google because I was so discouraged one day, and I put, is it possible not to be able to learn a second language? And because I was looking for an excuse, like, are there people out there like me?
Other people out there.
And Google said, if you've learned your first language, then you can always learn a second. And I was like, that is not what I need to hear right now, Google.
You're not on my side.
And so just with that, you know, God really taught me a lot when our first couple years there. And relying on him, and more even so just relying on him, is having a confidence in his call in your life. Because when there are things that don't go right, mm-hmm. and the things just feel like it's out of your control, you just really have to say, you know, I didn't come here for the adventure. I didn't come here for anything other than what God has called me to. And so that, I feel like, has a big part in patience, is understanding that expectations versus reality. And then once you do, then understanding this is where God's called you.
Yeah. I think we see even the natural law of, you know, when you, the sowing and reaping, but there's a lot of time between the sowing and reaping, you know, when you sow that. And fruit is different, you know, maybe the watermelon comes up faster than the corn. You know, my father-in-law is a farmer, and he would always say, knee high by the 4th of July. You know, that was his, so if it was knee high by the 4th of July, you knew you were on, you know, it was a mile marker to show that you're on the right route. But everything grows differently. So I'm sure there were others. Maybe you can give some maybe some examples. Do you remember other examples of maybe a ministry you set this high goal and it wasn't met? Maybe in different aspects of life that you set a goal and it wasn't met?
Yeah, just first mentioning goals. I mean, yeah, I very many times have set goals and they're not met. Typically, it's because I probably think I set the goals in an unrealistic spot. And because I have tremendous faith, right? But the biggest thing for me with the goals is understanding, and for me at least, it was understanding where the motivation for those goals came from.
That's good.
Yeah. Because For me, a lot of the times I'm a very competitive person and I just want to be successful. I want to be viewed as by my peers as I was successful. Mm-hmm. And that could become a very toxic trait.
Sure.
Competitiveness, and it can turn into bitterness if it doesn't accomplish right. And even if you do accomplish it, then Satan can use those lies to now that you are deserving of being held up higher in esteem by your peers, which is not at all what the Bible teaches. And
yeah.
Very contrary to that, saying not to compare ourselves among ourselves. And so for me, learning that my goals, that can be great and used as a great thing, is God creating that, you know, low level of stress in my life that's both healthy physically, spiritually, and emotionally, can turn very negative if I'm not careful. And so for me, growing up, I didn't even realize I was doing that. I read a book on it, and it helped me a lot, where I realized that a lot of my thoughts were coming from, and my motivation was coming from Satan's lies in my life. And so understanding that these goals are supposed to be spiritual goals and things that are, you know, are accomplishing the will of God in your life, but rather for the purpose of the advancement of his kingdom rather than advancement of me. And so that's something I learned, especially when I was planning the first church there in Peru. With setting goals, it wasn't because I wanted to make sure that my church grew the fastest of anyone else's church, or because of anything other than I want to make sure that the most people have the chance to hear the gospel.
Yeah.
And it's something you have to constantly remind yourself of over and over.
You know, I remember, Spiritual Leadership G. Oswald Sanders. And he says in that, I don't remember exactly how it says, but he talks about spiritual ambitions. And he talks about leadership, and if we're not careful, even though it's in the spiritual realm, we can get really prideful, like, you know, Lord, I want to see 1 million people saved because D.L. Moody did it, you know, like, and I'm going to show that I'm better than D.L. Moody, you know. And in some aspects, I know that everybody listening might, well, there's nothing wrong with setting high goals, and that's fine. You know, we all might see it a little bit differently, and maybe our personalities play into that. Nevertheless, we do have to remember, and I think that's excellent inspection on your own life, examination of where's your motivation? Is this for me and my name, or is this for, you know, the Lord's glory? And I think, you know, none of us should answer for the other. I think all of us have to do our own self-examination to check that out. Mm-hmm. I do think there's a lot of personality playing in that, personally, Mitch, and that would be, for me, I've seen like something that maybe I push out there like as a high goal for me to get to. I might not make it, but it helps drive me. But I've also found out in my own family and with friends that I try to implement on them, say, you put this high goal. And for them, it's not a, you know, something that they're going to run towards. For them, it's become a cloud over their head that makes them live in misery.
So true.
And how do you do that with yourself, Mitch, and make sure that you don't, like you said, push that your goal upon your wife, mm-hmm. because maybe she's different. Maybe that's not her goal. Maybe that's not in her heart. How do you do that?
A very good question. And then I do a couple things, because you're very right. My wife is completely different than me, and personalities wise, where if she knows some of the things that I have put on myself to accomplish, that she would almost look at it like as something that would deter her from doing it, because you're like, I know I can't get there anyway. And so, so what I do with my wife with some of those goals, especially since some of them she doesn't really need to know about, with doing a church and having certain numbers or having the ability to give out a certain amount of tracts or whatever it is, or disciple a certain amount of people, whatever the goal is, I don't really usually even share those too often with her, because I feel like it's not something that, first of all, is going to hinder or help her at all.
Right.
And so I don't like try to keep it a secret, but it's not something of topic of conversation. I do share with her, obviously, goals that have to do with our family.
Sure.
And I allow her to put her own spiritual goals in her own life. And so if there's the different things that she wants to see accomplished and she wants God to see, she can feel free to do that and at her own pace and what she thinks that God has called her to. And so my wife is definitely a motivated person and driven person. So I see her doing so many things while we're there. But she does that, again, as a woman of God without feeling the pressures of me and saying, hey, you have to hit this quota, people, or whatever it is. And so anyway, the only goals that we typically share about that are the ones that are more family-based with our children.
Good. Could you share a couple of those, maybe goals that you would put in your family that kind of help you out?
Yeah. So goals that we have in our family, we start off with, we were looking to do family devotions every night before going to bed. And rather it being something that was a long time spent each time, because we kind of did that and got burnt out and would miss nights and then not do it for a month or two. Sure. And so we have different things that we want to see us be able to at least share at least a 5-minute story with our two little boys every night before bed. We did something else that we've implemented that our pastor recommended, which is always eat dinner together.
Yeah.
And so instead of just taking a meal and going to our room, we just always as a family look to try and making sure we're eating dinner together as a family at the dinner table. And those are two of the ones I can think of off the top of my head here for you right now.
Allow me to say this. Let me just throw it in there for our friends that are listening. You know, all of us set different goals, whether it's, you know, mentally or you put them down or you share them with somebody. And we have to be careful that, you know, we could even go the spiritual. How many times am I going to get through the Bible this year? You know, I'm going to read the 90-day. And, you know, we go through so fast at the end, like, I've read my Bible 4 times this year. What'd you get out of it? I can't even remember. You know, I had it on 2x speed. And, you know, I know some of the, I don't know, high Christians that I revere. You know, they took the whole year to go through a psalm a day, you know, just to scratch it. And like, you know, so what is right? What is wrong? Well, what's a goal for you might not be for somebody else. Mm-hmm. And so I think you're right. You have to find out where you are. But even on the family, I know I wrestled personally with what you just mentioned on the family devotion, you know, and maybe because of books I've read or pastors I've heard preach or friends that have mentioned, like I've self-imposed their goals upon me and I failed. And throughout the years, now I have, you know, I've got 5 children and 2 of them are married, 1's about to be married. And the thing that I could see, and, you know, so I've got still 3 at home, soon to be 2 at home. But what God has allowed us throughout the years, we started different books that we're going to, you know, we're going to read all through the Psalms in the year, you know, 1 a night or even a devotional book. We've started a lot of different things, but the only thing that we've maintained is that they come in my room, sit on my bed, and we pray before we go to bed. And although that seems maybe super silly for my friends that are listening, and that's fine, and it can be, it doesn't have to be, but that's something that's helped us come together and maybe talk about things and laugh and goof off. But those expectations that you set, one, I think it's wise, set it for your family. Two, find out what your motivations are. And 3, know your own personality, like what frustrates you, what helps you, what becomes a cloud, a lull over you, and what gives you like, you know, the courage to like, hey, this is my motivation to keep going forward. And I appreciate that, Mitch. Maybe you can, we got a couple more minutes before we close out the segment. Maybe you could say some personal goals that you have reached and you're grateful that, God, let you put those into play in your life.
Yeah, so some of the goals that when we first got to the field were I wanted to just be able to go through discipleship with somebody before we came back. And I wanted to be able to complete a book of discipleship with them in Spanish. And so that was a big goal for me. It actually was completed several different times by the time we left, because we had a church that was given to us. But that goal was really important to me for a couple of reasons, because first, I felt like if I could do it once with somebody, that I could then do it and repeat it again. And then I also wanted to be able to see someone come to the Lord. And that was something that for my first 2 years as well, and then become faithful in church as well. So God's really blessed, and all the different things that I've asked Him for. And I mean, He's exceedingly given above and beyond in many areas. There are areas and things I asked for that I was not seen and that were not accomplished. And I'm going to continue praying about those and continue in His own time. Love to see this happen as well.
I appreciate that, Mitch. And all my friends that are listening, you know, set goals, set expectations, but don't let your expectations turn into frustrations and make you want to quit, right? Mm-hmm. Set things that that you can get to. And I think those, what you mentioned, you know, those spiritual ones, especially with the family or even getting through discipleship, I'm getting through, like, praise the Lord for that. And God bless you on your efforts as you serve the Lord. Remember, life's not about you and your accomplishments. And sometimes we can get in that rat race, you know, but it's about we're servants of the Lord. And as servants of the Lord, geography is not an issue with Him. levels are not issue with him, positions not an issue. We are simply servants, and as he moves us, we're faithful wherever he places us. So, Mitch, I appreciate your time, and dear friends listening, thank you so much for your time.